us just to their glory share, where the souls of men shall enter and live on forevermore. Everybody will be happy over there.
Everybody will be happy over there.
Thank you, Josh and Amanda. Guitar Day at Faith Baptist Church, right? This morning and tonight. Appreciate it. Very good. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Find that place in your Bible. Give you just a moment. We're going to read a couple of verses out of chapter 8 and also out of chapter 9. So, book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And then we'll read a couple of verses out of chapter 9 as well. Find that passage. Let's stand together, please, in honor of God's Word. We're beginning reading in chapter 8 at verse number 7. Follow along there. Chapter 8, verse 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Look at chapter 9, verse 1. For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous, something like that, for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you, to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. So I want to speak to you on the subject of a year ago, or dissolved resolve. Dissolved resolve. Let's pray together. Father, thank you today for the privilege to have your book. I pray that you'll help me as I preach it tonight. Thank you for the faithfulness of these people in these conditions to stay for the evening service and be here as I'm coming back from home. Thank you so much for your goodness. Bless the time in your word tonight. God, we look forward to a brand new year in just a few hours. I pray that you'll bless it in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you. Be seated. And we'll look at the scripture here tonight, so keep your Bible there for a little bit. In just a little over 6 hours, 2017 will be in the history books. It will be difficult to remember to date things with an 8 at the end instead of a 7 for the first little while. We're creatures of habit. At least I am, and find myself writing 2017 when it's 2018. Now, my speculation is that almost everybody comes to the end of a year with some degree of regret as to how the last 365 days were lived. Sadly, I know for some, they wish that a certain day in 2017 had never existed. Maybe choices or decisions were made that led to actions that were wrong, and now they live with the fallout from that, and they look back over 2017, and they think to themselves, I wish that day had never taken place. Now, hopefully, that degree of regret is not experienced by the people in this room, this auditorium tonight. But there is usually some degree of regret as a person looks back over the landscape of a full year now almost gone. And many times that is tied to something, that regret is tied to something that we started a year ago. But for one reason or the other, we got sidetracked. We got negligent, and the resolve of 365 days ago dissolved. And the thing that was to be done tonight, December 31st, 2017, is left undone. And that brings a degree of regret. And that is exactly what Paul was concerned about when he wrote to the church of Corinth here in chapters 8 and 9. And this church should know, if you've been coming here for any time at all, you should know the context of these two chapters by now. Chapters 8 and 9 in 2 Corinthians is about grace giving. And you remember that the offering that Paul was talking about them receiving here, a monetary offering, was for the poor saints in Jerusalem. And Paul encouraged every church that he started to take a monetary offering for the relief of the poor Jews in Jerusalem. And Corinth was no exception. He had asked the church in Corinth to consider taking an offering. In fact, he didn't ask him to consider it. He said, really, you owe it. And he even wrote about it to them in 1 Corinthians 16. Told them how to do it. Okay, he said, bring it with you every week. That was talking about there, when he talks about bring it on the first day of the week and lay by in store, was not talking about tithing. Was talking about that special offering for the poor saints in Jerusalem. And so now he is writing back to Corinth again about this very offering. Look at verse number 7 again. We read it a moment ago. I won't take time to read the entire verse. He lists several things that Paul says they should abound in. And at the very end of the verse, he says, see that ye abound in this grace also. Folks, I won't preach on this tonight, but you know, we are commanded by God to abound in the grace of giving. Now, I mentioned this morning, I thanked you, and I meant it from the bottom of my heart. That was a sincere thank you this morning for the faithfulness of God's people the past 11, 12 months to give faithfully this year. I really do. I mean that with all of my heart. But I'm not so naive as to believe that every person here has entered into the realm of grace giving. Now, if you're tithing, that's not grace giving. That's just obeying God. Grace giving is moving beyond the tithe, giving something beyond that 10%. All right? And Paul said that we should abound in this area of grace, the grace of giving. Look at verse number 8. He says here, I speak not by commandment. Paul says when he says, I speak not by commandment, what that means is Jesus Christ never addressed this issue during his earthly ministry. He never spoke on this subject during his earthly ministry. And so he goes on to say in that same verse, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, he said, I can point you to the example of others, other churches who have given for this offering. And then he said, I also exhort you to give this offering to prove the sincerity of your love. Nothing proves the sincerity of somebody's love like giving does. Okay? You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. And so Paul says, look, I have no commandment from the lips of Jesus Christ concerning this matter, but I do have the example of others, and I do have the sincerity of your love. If you really love the Jewish people, you'll give to them. Now look at verse number 9. Here is the greatest example of grace giving. The greatest example of grace giving was Jesus Christ. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, He gave more than a monetary gift. He gave His whole life. Yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. And then in verse number 10, herein I give my advice. This is expedient for you. This is to your advantage. And look what he says. Expedient, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. He said, a year ago you got started on this. A year ago you moved forward. A year ago, you resolved that you were going to move forward on this issue. You wanted to abound in the grace of giving, and you began to move on this matter a year ago. Now look at chapter 9, verse 1. He says, as touching the ministering of the saints, it is that word there for me to write to you. That word actually means unnecessary. It's really unnecessary for me to write to you about this offering. You know all about it. Look at verse 2. For I know the forwardness of your mind. I remember how forward you were. And I even boasted of you to them of Macedonia. So Paul said, I have bragged on you to the churches in Philippi and the churches in Thessalonica. I've bragged about your zeal, your forwardness in this matter. I bragged about you that Achaia was ready a year ago. A year ago you moved forward. A year ago, you developed some resolve. A year ago, you determined to do this. A year ago, you took some steps. A year ago, Corinth was resolved. A year ago, Corinth was moving forward. A year ago, Corinth was zealous about this. A year ago, Corinth was willing. Now look at verse 3. Yet. Chapter 9, verse 3. Yet have I sent the brethren. Now who's that? That's Titus. You find that through other readings here in 2 Corinthians. Paul sent Titus down to Corinth. I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, ye may be ready, lest haply, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed. What's he saying there, folks? He said, man, one of the reasons I'm sending Titus down there is so that when I show up, if guys from Macedonia come with me, and you're not ready, we, not you, we're going to be embarrassed. I'm going to be embarrassed. You're going to be embarrassed because I've been boasting about you to other churches. I've been using you as an example of somebody who was ready to move, ready to go, took some steps a year ago. And I just want to make sure that when we come, you're ready. Now, why? Why would the Holy Spirit of God have Paul pen these words to those people at the church in Corinth? Why would he say to them, I know you were ready a year ago. I know you were willing a year ago. I know you were excited a year ago. I know you even took some steps a year ago. I boasted about your resolve a year ago. You moved forward a year ago. But, you know, I'm kind of sending Titus to make sure you're ready. Why would he do that? Because he knew human nature. And not just Paul knew it, God knew it. And God was writing through Paul to the Corinthian church. Paul knew that human beings have the tendency to start something and never finish it. A year ago. How many books have we started and never finished? Ever thought about that? I don't know about you, but I've read a lot of books, but I've read many books and I never finished them. How many repair or remodel projects have we begun, but we have never completed? How many New Year's resolutions were forgotten or broken in the first 7 days of the new year? What did you resolve a year ago? What did you resolve a year ago that in the course of time in 2017 dissolved? You were excited about it. You thought you made some concrete decisions. Maybe you even visited the altar at the beginning of this year, 2017. And Father, this is what I believe you'd have me do. And this is the steps that I'm taking. And you were excited about it. But as you look back over the landscape of 2017, you see that things that you started a year ago never got finished. Never got completed. And you know what happens, folks? If we're not careful, we get cynical about resolving to start something else because we've tried it and done that. And so we don't resolve, we don't take inventory, we don't assess our lives and evaluate our lives to see if improvements need to be made because we've become cynical. We have started and stopped and started and stopped and started and never finished and started and never completed so many times that now it's like, oh, what's the use? And I'll tell you something, that's not a good place to be. That's not a good place to be. Maybe, you know, maybe it was about what this text is about right here. Maybe it was about giving. You know, maybe you were going to start tithing faithfully. You started 2017 and you thought to yourself, you know, I'm tired of this. I am tired of this hit and miss, up and down, in and out, tithing record of mine. You know, so I'm going to change some things, and the first expense out of my income is going to be what belongs to God. And a year ago, you were zealous, and a year ago, you were determined, and a year ago, you were resolved. But as you look back over the landscape of 2017, you see that your resolve dissolved. Your resolve dissolved. Now we could talk about how many different areas. How about your Bible reading? For some, it might be reading the Bible. For some, you started out 2017. We handed out those Bible reading guides and had some for the kids and read through the New Testament, read through the whole Bible. And I know some people started and finished. But I would guess and speculate that in a crowd like this, there were people who started and your intentions were good and sincere and it was real and you were resolved and you moved forward like these people and you said, I'm going to do it this year. This is the year I am settling this matter. But as you look back over 2017, there's more misses than hits. More misses than hits. And I'm not preaching down to you tonight, folks. I'm preaching what's real. Let's just be honest. Maybe it was in the matter of praying. Maybe you started last year or this year, 2017, you know, 12 months ago, and you said, this is what I'm going to do in this year, and I'm going to get my prayer list, and I'm going to get that little square sheet of paper, and I'm going to put some names on there, and I'm going to spend some time every day praying over those names. I'm going to pray for this on these days of the week, and these on this day of the week. And maybe as you look back, you see that you were zealous and you were excited, but what you started never was completed. Maybe it's witnessing. Maybe you started earlier this year and you thought, you know, I'm going to witness to somebody. I've got this fellow on my mind at work. I've got my coworker, my neighbor. I've got this relative. And this is going to be the year that I try to pin them down in the right spirit, in the right way, and talk to them about Jesus Christ. I am going to put tracts in my pocket, going to put tracts in my purse. You were zealous. You were excited. You were moving forward. The resolve dissolved. What can we talk about tonight? Memorizing Scripture? What can we talk about tonight? Something that's marriage related? Something that you you came into 2017 and you said, this has got to change. It's going to change. I am done with this. I'm tired of this kind of aggravation and confrontation between my wife and I, my husband and me. So we're changing this. I'm changing this. Your resolve was strong. You started out. You were zealous. But it just didn't last. Is it child related? Is it more time with a certain child or all of the children? Is it use of time? Did you look back and you thought to yourself at the beginning of this year, I waste so much time, it sickens me. And you know what, folks? I pondered this. This internet thing is quite interesting. Because over the years, people have made excuses for not being able to be involved in ministry at church because of a lack of time. But somehow, we have found hours to give to the internet. It's amazing to me. Amazing. And let's face it. Let's be real with you. Let's face it. So maybe it's management of time. Maybe it's time management. I'm tired of wasting time. You started out this year and there was a resolve. There was a zealousness. There was a moving forward like these people. And you decided, I am not going to spend hours playing video games, and it lasted 3 weeks. Now you're still back in that same stuck in that same mode of hours and hours of video games. You look back over a landscape, and you think, my goodness, I didn't finish what I started. Was it reading books? Was it family altar? Was it controlling the television? Controlling the internet time? We're not going to play that kind of program in our house. And you started out and you set the rules, but it just kind of dissolved. Being a better friend, losing weight, getting a grip on anger, obtaining a degree or a certificate where you work, fellas. There's an opportunity to maybe just get some certification for something or maybe a degree. You know, one of the men in this church told me earlier this year, he said, Pastor, if it ever fits into a message to encourage the men at where they work, if they have opportunity to get certain certifications or keep up on things or do the work to get, to, you know what I'm talking about. That goes with the, he said, encourage the men to do it. He said, I am working today in a place where I probably wouldn't be working if I hadn't stayed up on my certifications. And maybe that's what you determine. You determine, you know what? My work is going to be different this year. I'm going to put forth the extra effort. I'm going to get this. I'm going to get that. I'm going to get an online degree. I'm going to get some certification. And it started out great. You were resolved, zealous. You went forward, but somewhere along the line, and on I could go. A year ago. What now? Okay, failure again. Unfinished business again. Started but not completed again. What now? I'm going to forget about it. I'm going to let it go. I'm not going to worry about it. There's no sense in even trying to start out with something new because so many times I've started but I've never finished. Well, that's what Paul was afraid of. Paul was afraid that the people at Corinth might have decided to just forget about what they had resolved to do a year ago. So he sent Titus to check up on them, to remind them, to assess the situation. How's the offering coming? Were they indeed ready? Did Titus find the offering in good supply? Well, folks, the Bible doesn't say. Seems like I heard somebody say something like that recently in a message. The Bible doesn't say. But we know this. We know that Titus went there to prod. Titus went there to check. Titus went there to encourage. Titus went there to say, let's go, let's finish this. Titus did not go to Corinth to say, hey, have you neglected the offering that you started a year ago? Okay, don't worry about it. No problem. Forget it. That's not why Titus went there. Titus went there to say, let's finish. Let's get it done. Let's get this completed. And here comes Pastor Angel tonight in the last 6 hours and 16 minutes of 2017 to say to the church members who are here this evening, hey, how's it going with your resolve? The resolve you possessed a year ago. A year ago, you were resolved. You even moved forward, but you didn't finish. Okay? There's some regret, but hey, pick it up. Get started again. This is a new year. There's a fresh start. And this time's finish. This time finish. Now, sometimes events take place that we have no control of that really cause us adjustments. And my wife and I have gone through that. So I'm not talking about things that I don't know anything about. Because when May of 17 hit, our life changed with my dad's Alzheimer's condition. And my life has changed. And it's dawning on me how it's changed. And I'm not complaining. I'm not griping. I'm just saying my life has changed. It's different now. I've got some responsibility that before August of this year, I didn't have to spend much time taking care of. So sometimes things happen in life that we have no control over. Events take place that cannot be helped. We have to make adjustments. But the thing about it is, folks, where were you a year ago? What did you resolve a year ago? What did you decide a year ago? This is going to be different. This part of my life is all changing. What were you? Where were you a year ago? Now, we've been introduced a year ago, back in January of 17, to the theme consecration restoration. Restoring ourselves to a consecrated life. A life of filling God's hand to placing ourselves at His disposal. And as I look back, I see times when I did that. I see times when I filled God's hand. I put myself at His disposal. I know I was doing exactly what God wanted me to do. And then I confess, I see other times when I chose not to be consecrated. When God wanted something and I did not put myself at His disposal. But you know what? Now, in 6 hours and 14 minutes, a whole new year begins. And there are some areas of my life that need improvement, and I have done some evaluations, and I'm not going to let past failures keep me from the prospect and the potential of future success. A year ago. Where were you a year ago? I can't change what I started but didn't finish a year ago. But with God's help, I can embark on a new year. I can resolve now. And I can finish what I started a year ago. And my problem is not with those who will start and not finish again. My problem is with those who have given up and said, it's no use. That's where my problem is. You get cynical. And you decide, you know what, it doesn't work. I come to these new years and I decide this needs to be done, and it lasts 3 weeks or 3 months, and then I never finish. And so you just decide to just plod ahead in failure. Don't do that, folks. Don't do that. What did God put on your heart a year ago? If it hasn't been completed, God still wants you to finish it. He's sending a preacher your way tonight to tickle your ears these last few hours of 2017 to say, hey, pick it up again and finish the job this time. Get it finished. You know, I taught 6 kids how to ride a bike. And I even had to teach one of my grandkids the other day. And actually, I taught a couple of grandkids, I think. I taught one in the front yard. And I taught one up at his house in Elgin. I've taught all the bike riding techniques I ever want to teach. I've been out on that road, 2250, in my shoes, and holding onto that bike and pushing those kids, and in the grass. And every one of them, all 6 of them, and the 2 grandsons that I have taught how to ride a bike, they fell, and they fell, and they fell. And they fell, and they fell, and they fell, and they fell, and they fell. And one of them kept falling for 7 years, or until she was 7, and fell, and fell, and fell. They say the youngest is often the smartest, but I don't think in this case it was true. And fell, and fell, and fell, and rode. They go. And now it's a matter of putting the reins on them instead of pushing them to get started. So, did you jump on the bike a year ago? In some area of your Christian life and your Christian experience, and by 1st of February, middle of March, you fell? Well, get up. Start again. Did you a year ago move forward? Did you have a lot of resolve a year ago? That was a whole... The devil would love to convince you that, oh, it was just a bunch of emotional... No, there was a lot of holy resolve. That would be very pleasing to God. Get on the bike and ride. And if you fall, ride again. And ride and fall and ride and fall until the day comes that you ride and ride and ride and ride and ride. Where were you a year ago? What resolve did you possess a year ago? What resolve got dissolved in the past 12 months? Grab it, start it again, and go anew. Maybe this time you'll finish it. You'll complete it. Let's bow our heads in prayer together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. This is very simple, I know. I hope practical enough to be helpful. Lord, there were a group of people in the church at Corinth. A year previously, they had resolved to move forward. They were excited. They were sincere. And Paul wanted to make sure that their resolve didn't dissolve. And I pray tonight for folks in this auditorium. I pray for each one, Lord, who looks back over 2017. And Lord, thankfully, there's not major regret for some horrible decision that was made. But there is a reminder that, yeah, I started something and didn't finish. And I pray this might be a little prod tonight. This might be a little encouragement. This might be a little exhortation to finish. In just a few hours, it'll be a brand new year. Nothing changes with you. Really, nothing changes with us. Except for, Lord, we flip the calendar. And doing so, I pray with a clean, fresh slate before us, we'll pick up and move forward. And this year, finish. Help us, I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I didn't touch on every area of the Christian life tonight in that list of things I went through that I could touch on. But maybe there was something a year ago that you started and didn't finish. Wouldn't it be wonderful if 2018 was the year that you picked it up and finished? What did God have on your heart a year ago? He probably wants you to finish this year. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies are playing a song of invitation. You obey the Lord tonight. A year ago.